Back to our doctrinal study. Of course, we just handled a real toughie, that being election. But it's God's Word, and by faith we accept it as such, even though we can't explain it fully and wholly. But it's there. And that brings us into our next one, which is another toughie. Particular redemption. Or atonement, however, there's various names for it, however you want to call it. When we looked at election, and we've seen how it was a profitable doctrine, we noticed that election was unto salvation. Remember, it was unto salvation. We've seen that in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." He chosen you to salvation. Unto salvation. That choice, of course, was made for the foundation of the world, but yet, when He made that choice, that didn't automatically save those that He chose. Man had a problem. And what was that problem? It was sin. And the wages of sin is death. In order to save those that He had chosen, He had to make a way that could be made possible. Okay? Since God is a just God, that's one of His characteristics. He couldn't overlook the sin of man. Even though He had chosen them, chosen some unto salvation, He couldn't overlook their sin. He had to make His Son come and make a payment for it, or make a atonement for that. The word atonement, let me just read you this, the word atonement occurs only once in the King James, the New Testament, in Romans 5:11. And in that verse, you have a translation of the Greek word, and the noun also corresponding to that, it means to reconciliation, reconcile. The verb also means to reconcile, collating with that particular word. And we see that in Romans 5:11. We'll just begin at Romans 5:8 because it's all good. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Remember, what was our problem? Sin. The wrath of God was upon us. Being now justified by His blood, we are saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You see that atonement, that reconciliation, reconcile. You've seen that word all through this here. That's basically what it means, to reconcile. To reconcile. So now, that leads us to the question. Now, we see salvation was unto, that the election was unto, salvation was something that God chose for His people before the foundation of the world. But that didn't automatically save them, but we had that sin problem. We had that sin problem. Now, this atonement, we know a lot about atonement from the Old Testament, do we not? As we look at the Old Testament and the laws and Leviticus and the Exodus, and we see there's a bunch of different laws to make atonement for sin. Our various sins, different atonements, and we see all of that in the Old Testament. And in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, all those atonements back then pointed to something. Okay? In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, let's just begin at verse 1. It says, "For the law," now these were laws, these atonements, They were laws. If you did this sin, you did this. These were laws. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, could never, with these sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Okay, so all these sacrifices, these atonements for sin back then, they were a shadow, or they was a picture of what was going to really happen to take care of their sin. Could these do it? No, it says, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. They couldn't do that. For them would they not have ceased to be offered? If it had, then they would have stopped offering them. But it didn't. So they had to do it year after year after year, because the worshipers come once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Thus saith I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering a burnt sacrifice, burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure in which are offered by the law, then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So when Jesus came, he fulfilled all those pictures, that shadow of all those things. He made the atonement that was made once for all, which perfected the saints once for all. All these sacrifices which pictured him, they was what? They were atoning for what? Atoning for sin. That's man's problem. Even though they were elected unto salvation, yet we had our sin problem. Now the sacrifices, they all pictured him and what he was going to do when he come. And when he came, what? He done away with the second, the first. He done away with all those because he fulfilled them. He filled all those. So he made a complete and full atonement for his people's sins. He did that. Now, the question is, that atonement. We have many views concerning the atonement. I'll just give you the general atonement. In particular atonement. When Jesus went to that cross and died for the sins there, who did he die for? Bottom line. And a general atonement, there's a lot of different beliefs under a general atonement, but this is the basic general thought of the all of them. And a general atonement, when Jesus died, he made a way possible for man to be saved. That's what you call a general atonement. He made a way possible for men to be saved. In particular atonement, Jesus knew who he was dying for. Those were chosen before the foundation of the world. When he went to the cross, he knew exactly whom he was dying for. Those that names that was written in the Lamb's Book of the Life for the foundation of the world. That is what particular atonement. So we have two views, and a lot of views, again, I say, under general atonement. So what do we go by? We go by the Word. So that's what we've got to look at. Let's let God's Word decide which is right. Is it a general atonement that He made for all of mankind? Or is it a particular atonement made for those that He chose before the foundation of the world? Okay. Now we want to look at some things. First of all here, I want you to look at it too. Look at Luke 19 and 10. Again, very, very important. God where God belongs, and His characteristics, His nature. Remember, God in His nature is holy and righteous. He does nothing wrong, ever. He has all power and He has all wisdom. He has all might. He's a perfect God. Put man where man belongs. Man's a sinner by choice. He doesn't want to have anything to do with God. Okay? Now, Christ came to what? I'll ask you a series of questions. Christ came to, and it's based on this general atonement, and it's based on this particular atonement, these questions. Okay? Christ came to enable men to save themselves, or did Christ come to save sinners? Where do we go? We go to the Scriptures. It's not my opinion that matters. It's what the Scriptures say. And in Luke, the 19th chapter, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." To seek and to save that which was lost. Now, the Son of Man, He comes. And what was His purpose to come? To seek and to save that was lost. Who's doing the seeking? God's doing the seeking. God is the one that's doing the seeking. Does man seek Him? John the third chapter, verse 19. We've read this particular verse before. It's very good in showing the condition of man. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world." What did it say? What the verse? "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save." He came. He came to the earth to seek and save. For then, this is what it's talking about. "And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." So our passage is telling us that He is come to seek and to save. As far as when Christ come down here, that was one of His purpose. Now, what was man's desire? Not to seek Him. Not to go to Him. Not to follow after Him. And in 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, who I am chief." He came to do what? He came to save the sinner. Is the sinner coming to Christ according to the Scriptures? No. He's not coming to Christ. He's the one doing the seeking. He's the one doing the saving. Okay? Next question. Who's doing the saving? Titus 2:14. Who's doing the saving? If He came to seek and save, well, who's doing the saving? Titus 2:14. "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a particular people, zealous of good works." Now, what does the verse say? "He who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from our iniquity, and purify Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." He's the one that's redeeming us from our iniquity. He's the one that's doing the saving. He's the one that's doing that. In Matthew, the first chapter, in verse 21, and talking about Jesus when He was going to be born, what did they say? And what did the angel say? "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. For what is He going to do? For He shall save His people from their sins." Again, who's doing the saving? Well, Jesus is doing the saving. He's the one doing the saving. Why do they need saved? From their sins. From their sins. There are sinners. We are all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're all sinners. And Jesus came into the world to seek and to save. He came in to redeem His people from their sins. To make an atonement. for their sins. Next question. Christ came. Did he come to enable men to be reconciled to God? Or did Christ come to reconcile men to God? Let the passages determine that. Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 10. It says, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." What were we? We're enemies. We're enemies. Man, the love of God, to love His enemies, to send His Son, to do what? To come to save them, to redeem them, and to reconcile the differences between us and the Father. Reconcile those. We were enemies. And what it says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." How? Here's the atonement part. By the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. That righteous life that He lived gives us the righteousness to be able to go to heaven. His righteousness. His death for our sins that was imputed to Him, and His righteousness which is imputed to us. So we go on to read Colossians, the 1st chapter. Colossians, the 1st chapter. What verses these are. What a blessing these are to those that are saved. It says, "And having," Colossians 1:20, "and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether the things in earth or things in heaven, and you," that's you and I, "that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." He reconciled us, in what, verse 22, "in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight." Man. Again, did Christ came to enable men to reconcile themselves to God? Or did Christ come to reconcile men to God? According to the Scriptures, the reconciliation was made by His Son through His shed blood and death on the cross, so that we can stand before the Father holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. Man. Unreal. That's just, we can't grasp it, can we? We cannot understand fully the mercy and grace of our God. It's just amazing. So Christ came to the world again to do what? To seek and to save sinners. To redeem His people. He's doing the saving. He's doing the what? Reconciliation, what we just read. He's the one that does the reconciling. We were enemies. We were aliens. We didn't want to have anything to do with God. And yet, in the body of His flesh through death, He presents us holy, unreprovable, and unblameable. Man, He does that. He didn't enable men to do it for themselves. Because man didn't want to do it. Man didn't want to do it. What else? Christ came into the world to do what? To enable men to justify themselves? Or to justify His people? There's a big difference. Did He come in to enable men to justify themselves by working? Doing what's right? Trying to keep the law? Or did He come to the world to justify His people? Romans, the 3rd chapter, verse 24. It says, "Being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. This justification come how? Freely. It come freely by His grace, unmerited. He justified us not based upon anything that we would ever do, or could do, or would do. But His justified was freely by His grace through the redemption that is in. Here's the atonement. It was obtained through what? Through Christ Jesus, who had set forth Him to be a propitiation, an appeasement. Where there need to be an appeasement made for our sins before the Father. And He did that through what? Through faith in His blood. His blood. His blood to declare His righteousness. Being justified is being justified in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not our righteousness. Our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we can be justified for the remission of sins that are past for the through the forbearance of God. So Christ came to what? To enable men to justify themselves according to the Scriptures? No. Christ came to justify His people. Again, through that atonement that He made. That atonement that He made. What else? Another question. Christ came to do what? To enable men to seek the Holy Spirit, or to give His people the Holy Spirit? Again, we look to Scriptures. Ephesians, the first chapter. Christ came to enable men to seek the Holy Spirit. Now, wouldn't it seem logic if they're not seeking Jesus, they definitely wouldn't be seeking the Holy Spirit then, would they? If they're not seeking any of the others, why would you seek just the Spirit? But what do we see? Ephesians 1:13, it says, in whom, a verse we're all familiar with, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And what did it say? In whom also after you what? Trusted? You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and after believing, upon believing, you received the Holy Spirit. That's how it was gotten. Man wasn't seeking it. Man wasn't seeking God to begin with. He wasn't seeking the Savior at all. But yet, after the Lord saves, He gives us His Holy Spirit all in a moment of time. So Christ came to give His people the Holy Spirit. Not to enable men to seek the Holy Spirit, but He gave them to them to. And also Titus, the third chapter, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which was shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. It was shed on us how? Well, I was working for Him. No, I wasn't seeking the Holy Spirit. It was shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So we have four questions there. Four or five questions, different questions about Christ and come. He had to come. He was fulfilling the pictures of atonement of the Old Testament. Those pictures back then couldn't take away sin. The blood of bull and goats couldn't take it away. Only His blood could take it away. So He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world because He was going to do the saving. He had to do the saving. He came into the world to reconcile men to God. Because man didn't want reconciled. We were enemies. We hated the things of God. He came to reconcile us, and He came into the world to justify us, to declare us righteous, because we had no righteousness of our own. And He came into the world to give us His Spirit, an ever-abiding presence of God in our lives, to help us to live our lives. So Christ came to do all this. Man didn't want to do any of those things. Man didn't want to do any of those things that we just talked about. His people, he was doing this. This is all accomplished how? By his atonement. It was accomplished by his atonement. He made it possible. He made it possible. Okay? Now, that leads us to the next question. Who did he make it possible? Who did he make that atonement for? We'll look at that, Lord willing, next week.